us. And God is not only talking to you and I in this sanctuary. God is talking to people on Facebook also. God is moving and ministering and using Facebook Live to touch hearts, touch lives, encourage people, save people. I believe that. That's why we do that. God has said in His Word that His Word would not go forth void. And that means God's moving, God's working. Amen. I want to preach for this a little bit this morning, and the title of my message, and when I give you my title, you're going to understand why I feel like I need to go ahead and share a little bit of this message, because the whole service this morning has been going this direction. I don't want to preach. The title is Disaster into Victory. Amen. Disaster into Victory. I want to share a little something. Albert Einstein said, "Everyone who is seriously interested in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man, and one in the face of which we, with our modest powers, must feel humble." That was Albert Einstein. I want to read some excerpts here from a gospel tract that we've acquired. And it puts forth the question. Now, I'm pretty confident that nobody has this question inside the sanctuary, but then again, there might be. Is there a God? Is there a God? Have you ever looked up into the heavens at night? Or have you ever felt the tiny grip of a baby's finger and been filled with wonder? Amen. The world is filled with wonder everywhere we look. Who made all this? Did it just happen? Is there really a God who created it, as the Bible says? Can anyone really deny it? If you say there is no God, then all the wonders around you are just an accident. The billions of stars in the sky just happen to make themselves, generate their own power, stay on course. The land just happens to have topsoil without which nothing could grow. The air we breathe only 50 miles deep and exactly the right composition to support life is just another accident in the laws of physics. Did deposits of coal, zinc, gold, uranium get there by accident? And what prevents lakes from freezing solid all the way to the bottom, making it impossible for fish to survive frigid winters? Why does the earth spin at a given speed without slowing so that we have day and night? Who tilts it so we get seasons? No one really knows the why and how of the magnetic poles. Or think of the sun stoking a fire just warm enough to sustain us on earth, but not too close to fry us or too far away to freeze us. Who keeps things constant? Can you believe these things just happened? Isn't it more reasonable to believe that a supreme mind is behind everything that exists? Think about it. Just the marvels of nature. Is there a God? I think nature itself tells us there's a God. Albert Einstein realized quickly, as he began to study science, there's a God. The amazing human body. What about the human body? Its intricate combination, bones, muscles, nerves, blood vessels. In the future, scientists hope to have a supercomputer to rival the 3-pound average adult brain. But it won't be easy. In 2007, scientists built a $30 million supercomputer and it has 5% of the computing ability of a human brain. Let's look at the kidneys. I can relate to that. The kidneys contain approximately 145 miles of tiny tubes. No wonder them kidney stones hurt. It's a long ways to travel. In one day, they filter around 50 gallons of blood, extracting up to 2 quarts of water and impurities. Then there's the heart, an unbelievable rugged organ, a four-chamber, four-valve pump that handles the equivalent of 2,000 gallons of blood daily. It supplies the circulatory system that has 100,000 miles of vessels, and in a lifetime beats 2.5 billion times, or 108,000 times a day. Ever stop and count your heartbeat in a day? Somebody did. 108,000 times, and that just happened. Before you say there is no God, think about these marvels. All of a creation gives evidence there is a God who created it all. And in Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 16, it says, "For by him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Amen. So now as we survey nature, we survey this human body, then we have to survey God's word. It didn't just happen. That means the Bible is true. That means Christ created it all. God created it all. You see, God created the universe. God created this earth. God created man. God created all things. But there was something that transpired in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered in and disaster came upon this world. Disaster. But you see, God didn't leave it in disaster, because then he began to move in his great plan of salvation to turn disaster into victory. First, we got to realize the disaster is there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Amen. I'm just going to read portions of these scriptures this morning for the sake of time. But the reality is we're in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins, because that's what he told Adam and Eve. "If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." Well, they did. It wasn't a physical death. It was a spiritual death. And if they fell dead in trespasses and sins instead of spiritual life that they were created with, and that communication with God and that fellowship with God that they had been given in the very beginning, to where they talked with God every day. You will find that from that point forward, they didn't talk with God every day. Why? Because that spiritual life had been broken. God revealed himself to them from time to time, spoke to them, but not every day anymore. They were sent from the garden, and they were there to toil the land, and they were there to walk with the knowledge God had given them about him. And he gave them knowledge. He communicated things to them. But you got to realize, they didn't have that day by day relationship anymore. As we go through the Bible, we find there was times that 400 years would go by before God spoke to someone. The children of Israel were in the land of Egypt for 430 years, if my memory serves me correct, and they didn't hear from God. Joseph heard from God. Joseph went through the journey of his life to where he became second to Pharaoh in Egypt and preserved Israel, but then after that, no Nobody heard from God. And then prophets begin to come on the scene. God began to speak through his prophets. And then we come to another time from Malachi, the last prophet. And 400 years elapse. And man doesn't hear from God. You see, that was the spiritual death. A lot of people say, well, they didn't die. Oh, yeah, they did. They died to that spiritual life that God had put in them to fellowship with him daily, on a daily basis. And that was now gone. But praise God, God's plan was to take disaster and turn it into victory. And so we see then we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 18 says, having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. This is talking about the Gentiles. This is talking about the lost of whom we were. Amen. But we've grabbed a hold of the victory. But my message this morning is try to encourage someone that hasn't grabbed a hold of that victory to know that there is victory to be had. And God is wanting to work a wonderful work in your heart and in your life. Hallelujah. Because that's why Jesus Christ came. He came because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were alienated from the life of God. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. We were alienated from the life of God. And man just had to go through this world dealing with the calamities of life and the sin of life. And then murder enters in, and then all types of wickedness enters in, and all you got to do is jump back and look at the days of Noah. And God did it again. He destroyed all the wickedness of that day and Noah and his family. And all the animals loaded into that ark. And God's plan for disaster into victory continued on. Continued on. Amen. Some would ask, why, if there is a God, why is there so much evil in the world? Why is there so much harm and hurt and disaster and devastation? Why is there wars and rumors of wars? Why do men kill one another? Why is there so much hate? Why is there so much evil in the world? Well, I came across a very simple definition of evil. And that definition, evil, is the absence of God. That's what evil is. Why is there so much evil in the world? Because there's so many men and women who do not want God in their life. And because they don't want God in their life, there's nothing left but evil. There's nothing left but greed and selfishness and self-preservation. There's nothing left but evil if you don't want God in your life. You see, that's sin. That's the trespasses and sin that we're dead in. That's that alienated from the life of God. That's having the understanding darkened. That's the blindness of the heart. They don't want God. But I'm here this morning trying to persuade and trying to encourage that God is the only answer for disaster into victory. God is the only way out of the evil that is upon our lives, or even around our lives sometimes. Amen. Because God, when He comes on the scene, He can lift up a standard. He can lift up protection around us. He can move mightily as our heart becomes surrendered to God. That's the very hardest thing for man to do, is to surrender control to God. Why? There's just a measure of doubt, fear, and unbelief that God's going to make me do something I don't want to do. What is that? That's a mind that's being bombarded with evil. Because if God cannot have full control of your life, then sooner or later, evil will. Because what is evil? The absence of God. You see, the road to victory, the getting God back into the big picture. Now, you'll have to agree with me. I'm pretty confident you'll agree with me. The reason that there's so much evil in the world right now is because in America, all the way back in 1960, they started taking God out of the schools. That generated an absence of God. And so those that continued on in the public education system were had to deal with an absence of God there. There were lots of people that were going to school. I went to public school. I graduated in 1979, and I had enough instilled in me. I knew God was real regardless of what anybody book said or anybody else said. You weren't going to tell me God wasn't real. But yet as the generations roll by, those that come out of that public education system began to doubt that God was real. And then they began to teach their children that God wasn't real. And they began to teach their children that God wasn't real. And they began to teach their children that God wasn't real. And then we've got Hollywood that tells you that God's not real. We've got songs by secular evil people that are telling you God isn't real. We got old rock and roll singers that said they're going to party in hell. I mean, the whole media system is trying to promote to tell you God's not real. You've got more coming against you in the hour we're living in right now to persuade you that God's not real. Now, if you're my age, you know, which is at the young age of 61, you know God's real. You grew up in America that knew God was real. But we got young people growing up in an America that America's telling them God's not real. And you don't need to follow God. You just need to make your own rules. Whatever you think's right is right for you. What is that? That's evil. That's the absence of God. Because God says, thou shalt not. And God says you can have life, but you're going to have to forsake evil. Praise God. Hallelujah. So evil's growing stronger, and the pressures of evil are all around us. And if you're not wise to the tactics of the enemy, you're going to have evil. You're going to listen to evil. You're going to watch evil. And you might even partake in evil and not really realize what it is doing to you and how detriment it is to your relationship with God. Remember, I'm talking about disaster into victory. What is disaster? Disaster is dead in trespasses and sins. Disaster is alienated from the life of God. Disaster is being more influenced by evil than I am by God. But the road to victory, getting back to the big picture, probably one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the road to victory. God came into this world. The world forsook God, but God then came into this world. Jesus Christ came into this world. Hallelujah. Isaiah 42:21, the Lord is well pleased. For his righteousness' sake, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. That's talking about Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ, God, came into this world, took upon him the form of man, limited himself to humanity, and then walked for God in humanity. Walked for God in flesh and bone and body and all the blood vessels and the kidneys and the tubes. He was man, and he walked as a man living for God. Hallelujah. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost of God. Psalms 40:8 says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Hallelujah. That is the road to victory for every man, woman, boy, girl on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Is when Jesus Christ comes into our lives. Hallelujah. The miraculous work of the Spirit of God, as we confess our sins unto God and we accept Jesus Christ in his rightful position as Savior of the world, of Lord of our lives, and as a soon coming King, and then having the blessing of the fact that he's our High Priest also. Praise God. What's that? That means he's praying for us. He's interceding for us. He's working on our behalf. He tells the Spirit of God to move on our hearts, move on our minds, move on our souls, trying to wake us up to the evil that's around us and the evil that's knocking on the door of our heart. And the Spirit of God quickens the Word of God, trying to open our blinded eyes, because if we're leaning more towards evil, we can't see. Well, our eyes are blinded. Our eyes are blinded. And then God moves by the Spirit of the Lord, and he quickens the Word of God. And the preacher preaches, and the teacher teaches, and the Spirit of God the whole time is saying, "This is you. This is you. Here you are. This is for you. Will you listen to me? Will you follow me? Will you surrender to me?" Ooh. You see, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, descended upon him. Amen. And he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just moving forward at a rapid rate. Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth." Hallelujah. John 11:25-26. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Amen. That's just that promise of coming out of that disaster into that victory that's in Jesus Christ. Sister Lindsay made a statement this morning in worship service to the fact that it's not a matter of having or possessing the victory. It's a matter of understanding and realizing and believing that Jesus Christ is the victory. Hallelujah. And so that I must pursue me being possessed of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when I'm possessed of Jesus Christ, what is that? When I have surrendered all my heart, my soul, my mind unto the Lord Jesus Christ, then he possesses this vessel. Hallelujah. Then this vessel walks in victory. Praise be to God. If you're trying to pursue victory without surrender to Jesus Christ, my friend, my brother, my sister, you'll never have it. I've watched all through the years of my ministry so many people trying to seek the victory and they never have it. Why? Because they would never surrender all. They would never surrender all to Jesus Christ, and thus they could not possess the victory. You cannot have victory without full surrender to Jesus Christ. What is that, Brother Pepper? That means when God shows me the error of my way, then I grab a hold of the Word of God to be my guiding light instead of that error. Surely you've been told and you've heard that you can't really break old habits. You have to form new ones. Think about that. You can't really break old habits. Don't waste your time trying to break an old habit. Go ahead and form a new habit. You will find as you follow after the new habit, you won't do the old habit because you're bent on doing the new habit. Praise God. I don't know if you caught that or not. I don't know if you caught that or not. Hallelujah. We're so busy and feverish and trying to quit doing something. We're going about it all wrong. You need to get feverish and serious about doing what's right. Woo, hallelujah! In other words, press towards the mark of the high calling of an almighty God. Just as hard as you pressed into sin, turn and go the other way and press into righteousness with that same fervor. Woo. Can I pick on you young people just for a moment? Good. See, they gave me permission. Young people, if you'll put as much effort into serving God, reading His Word, being in an altar of prayer, and doing what's right, as you do playing a video game, you'll be the most spiritual young people on the face of the earth. Did you catch that? Mm-hmm. You see, I found out as a young Christian that the Word of God is true. And the Word of God says that if I will forsake my sin and begin to yield my vessel to God like I used to yield it to sin, then I will be an overcomer. And I guess the greatest thing that I ever achieved in my life, in my lost condition, in my mind, in my opinion, and the thing I loved the most in my life before I met Jesus Christ, was called the game football. And the thing about it, you had to know me then, and you may know me now. When I played football, I didn't play to sit on the bench. I didn't play to lose. I played to be on the team, and I played to win. And I gave it all I had. I would lift weights. I would run when the coach said run. When the coach told me to change something I was doing, I would change what I was doing. Amen. And I had such a desire to play the game. I loved it. I loved it. That's all I had when I was lost. I had that love for that game, and I wanted to play it, and I played it all through school and all through high school, and I loved every minute of it, and if I could, I'd go back and play it some more. I just loved that game that much because it was a place where I could excel at what I felt like I could do. So I didn't play basketball. I didn't play baseball. I could have. I mean, I've done it here later in school and with the students and stuff and played basketball with them. I just didn't feel comfortable with basketball. I didn't feel comfortable with baseball. But when it came to football, I was there. I was comfortable with that. And I knew I could perform in that game. And I gave it everything I had. And after I got saved, God would bring that back to my mind. Serve me like you served that game. Follow me like you followed that coach. Love me more than anything else. And that got a hold of my heart and hold of my soul, and I pressed myself into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When everybody else was shaking their head and saying, oh no, you know, that's days gone by, I was pressing towards the mark. I was wanting to see the power of the Holy Ghost. I was wanting to see the power of God. I was wanting God to work in lives. I was in pursuit of an almighty God when a lot of folks were on their way back. I was going up the hill. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I found that help as Brother Jason preached that message and that story when that man got to that top of the hill and the guy reached over and said, do you need some help, buddy? Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. It's going to be worth it all to press, child of God, because there will be help as you press up that mountain, as you follow God on that journey. Hallelujah. And I've got to move on here. Hallelujah. We've gone from disaster into victory, and Jesus Christ is the resurrection. He's the life. We've got to press ourselves into Jesus Christ. When He comes in, then we've got to give it all unto Him, because He's gave it all unto us. In Christ Jesus is victory. Period. He's already done it. He already is it. And it's a matter of me becoming linked with Him, one with Him, following Him. You see, this is the key, the road. I must put my faith, my confidence, my surrender, hallelujah, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's no other way from disaster into victory than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there's no other way for Jesus Christ to enter in unless there is a willing desire for Him to enter into our lives. It's a willful choice, a willful decision. Hallelujah. And I'm still feasting on my friend Mike Dewey, reaching out to God, the enemy doing everything he could to snuff out his life and take him out of this world lost and undone. Things just came upon him and things were happening in his health. And the doctors actually told him he was going to die. Make sure he talks to all of his family and get everything right with all of his family. Because the next day he was probably going to die. But he reached out. Even in the midst of the torment of the enemy in his mind, he reached out. Why God put me on his mind, I have no idea. He has no idea. But he would not stop till he could talk to me. And the moment I talked with him, and the moment we started talking and the conversation, what we were talking about, we were talking about Jesus Christ. We were talking about victory. We were talking about Christ has not turned you away. Christ is wanting to come into your life. And it's just amazing. You know, well, how do I know that? I said, Mike, you're talking to me. The very thing God put on your mind to get a hold of me, that's God. That's God. God is the one making this happen, Mike. God is the one that's reaching to you, Mike. Why he chose me, I don't know. I feel honored, and I'm glad I can be a part of it. But the main thing is that you're going to have to realize God has heard your cry, sees the desire of your heart, and he wants to come into your life. And after I said that, he just started praying. Oh, that's the most awesome thing you can ever hear over a phone. You know, most of the time you got to try to pray with them, you know, and try to lead them into prayer, which is, there ain't nothing wrong with that. They if they need led into prayer. But he was raised in the house of God. He knew the ways of God, and he had forsook the ways of God. And now he was realizing it's time to get back with God. And he just didn't think God would, but God did. And he did it in a marvelous way, and I got to be a part of it, still part of it. He calls me almost every other day, still talking about it. Hallelujah. And the reality, what is that? That's God reaching to man. And Mike reached out. Hallelujah. And he went from disaster into victory. Hallelujah. And he saved, amen, this morning because he called on God. And he asked God to forgive him. He asked God to come into his heart. Asked God to come into his life. And God did. And then only did that, that's not even the only thing that happened. And so he's supposed to be on his deathbed come Saturday morning and be put on a vent. And Saturday morning he wakes up. He had a dream that night. I'll not go into the detail of it. It was a wonderful dream. It was a funny dream, but it spoke fathoms to him. And it was a dream from God. God assuring him he was saved. God assuring him that he had forgiven him. Hallelujah. And he got up out of his bed the next morning, Saturday morning. He's supposed to be put on the ventilator. Saturday morning he got up out of the bed. Went and sat down in the chair. And the doctor come in, you know, just almost hysterical. What are you doing out of the bed? Don't you know you're about to die? Well, doc, I feel fine. So I was tired of being in that bed, so I got up and sat down. And then I talked to him Tuesday night. And he said, Brother Doug, not only did God raise me out of that bed and I left the hospital, he said, I just completed 2 days of 12-hour work. From disaster into victory. Hallelujah. Because faith was turned towards Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was asked to come in, and Christ came in, and Christ lifted him up off that deathbed, and God gave him strength in his body, and he went Sunday, he probably just rested in his room, and on Monday he went to work and worked 12 hours, on Tuesday he went to work and worked 12 hours, and he's doing fine. What is that? That's God moving in a heart that was desirous to know God fresh and anew, to know God again, and the enemy almost doing everything he could to stop that from happening. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You're never going to get away from the fiery darts of the enemy. But oh, you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that even though the enemy's firing his darts, he's preparing you a table where you can feast from the Word of God and be strong in your faith. And it is the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts the enemy. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus Christ is our victory. And God has provided a way from disaster, from trespasses and sins, and alienated from the life of God. God's provided a way. That way is through Jesus Christ. His finished work on Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection. His resurrection was the confirmation that his sacrifice for the sins of the world was accepted. And he rose that third day. He ascended into heaven. He's alive and well. That's why we can trust him. Amen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and all things are pending to be given wholly into his hand. He's going to rule and reign on this earth. Amen. That's coming. It's coming. Whew, praise God. It's coming. Hallelujah to the King. Endure hardness for a little while, soldier. Jesus Christ is about to return to catch us away. Judgment's going to fall upon the evil of this world. And then he's coming back to set up a righteous kingdom. Woo, hallelujah. You see, that is disaster into victory. That's Jesus Christ. We can still look unto him in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the one that came into this world. God come in this world, became flesh, died. Oh, woo, died on Calvary. But before he did that, he walked for God. He lived for God. He did not do everything he did on the face of this earth because he was a son of God. He did everything he did on the face of this earth because he was the servant of God. Praise God. Wow, you should have really shouted on that one. Hallelujah. Because that's what you and I are to become. The servants of the living God, just like Jesus Christ did. He set the pattern. Hallelujah. And now he's provided the way that you and I can be victorious and become the servants of the living God. So, stand with me, if you would. Someone come back to the piano just for a little bit. Is there a God? From everything that I have surveyed, nature, this human body, experience, God's Word, my answer is yes. There's a God. And he's provided a way from disaster into victory through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's done that for every human being on the face of the earth. Not just for a few elite ones, not just for a few that are goody-two-shoes, so to speak. He's provided for whosoever will call upon his name with a desire to go from disaster into victory. He will hear that cry. He will hear that prayer. What if I've committed the unpardonable sin? Got news for you. If you're worried about if you've committed the unpardonable sin, you haven't. Because if you had, you wouldn't be worrying about it at all, because you wouldn't know any better. So that's an answer to that question. How do I know if God will forgive me? The scripture that came to the mind of Mike Dewey is that he will take our transgressions and remove them as far as the east is from the west. And I'll just go ahead and share you what his dream was. His dream was a large tape measure standing in a cornfield. I had a hold of one side of the tape measure. Sister Pepper had a hold of the other side of the tape measure. And I took off one way. She took off the other way. And Mike was screaming and said, "What in the world are you doing?" Says, "We're just going to show you how far the east is from the west, because you won't believe God forgave you of your sins. So we were just going to compass the whole world and show him how far." And he knew again, God had washed him. God had forgave him. Hallelujah. Now, if you're here this morning and you had doubts about God, I trust your doubts have been removed. If you're here watching Facebook and you've doubted God, I trust your doubts have been removed. And I ask you to call out unto God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands this morning and give praise to God. If you're a child of the King, then you got something to praise him for. Hallelujah. And if you need him coming into your heart and into your life, this is the moment. This is the time. Hallelujah. Reach out to Him. Oh, ask Him in. Hallelujah. He'll come. Hallelujah. He'll give you newness of life. Oh, praise be to our God. Father in heaven, we worship You. We praise You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, for Your kindness. Oh, Lord, just work wonderfully, God. Hallelujah. To